From WAMC in Albany, this is the Legislative Gazette, a weekly magazine about New York State government and politics. Your host is David Gustina, with political commentary by Dr. Alan Shartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
Coming up this week, New York State Senate leader Dean Skelos says his members will once again join forces with a group of breakaway Democrats to rule the Senate come January. Our political observer Alan Shartok shares his thoughts on the ruling coalition, and a new school safety pilot program is launched in New York. Those stories and more on the Legislative Gazette. The leader of the New York State Senate Republicans says his members will once again join forces with a group of breakaway Democrats to rule the Senate come January. Senator Dean Skelos says his members also want a pay raise. More from the Legislative Gazette's Karen DeWitt.
Republicans won a bare majority of 32 seats in the 2014 elections. GOP leader Dean Skelos, following a two-hour closed-door meeting with his Republican members, says the GOP will once again form a coalition government with the Independent Democrats and its leader, Senator Jeff Klein.
There was a consensus that we would like to keep a coalition going, and I will be having discussions with Senator Klein on how we move forward.
Skelos would not say whether he and Senator Klein would once again be co-leaders of the chamber as they have been for the past 2 years. Senator Skelos says GOP senators also want a salary increase. The last time they received one was back in 1999.
I've said I'm in favor of the pay raise on numerous occasions. It's been 14 years.
Base pay for senators and assembly members is $79,500 a year, but they often earn much more holding committee chairmanships and leadership posts. Under the state's constitution, lawmakers cannot raise their own pay, but they can approve a salary increase for the next term, which begins in 2015 in this case. Since most of the legislators have been reelected, they would benefit from the increase. The rules mean that the Senate and Assembly would have to act by the end of the calendar year. Senator Kathy Marchione, a now two-term senator from the Capital Region, says while she is leaning against personally supporting a pay raise, the political timing might be better for one to happen now. She says 2 years ago, when she was a senator-elect, the state was still struggling with a deficit. Now it has a $5 billion surplus.
But I did recognize not even being here since 1999. That's a very long time without an increase in salary.
Senator Skelos says he's had no discussions yet with Governor Cuomo. But in the past, governors have granted pay raises to lawmakers in exchange for agreements on items that they've sought. Governor Cuomo wants a number of progressive items that Republican senators have rejected in the past. Cuomo said on election night he'll push for a Women's Equality Act that contains an abortion rights provision and a college aid program for the children of immigrants who are in the country illegally, known as the DREAM Act. Skelos ruled out those measures, but he did leave the door open a crack to another issue Cuomo is seeking, raising the state's minimum wage.
I will always discuss things, and now you're going to write that I'm in favor of a minimum wage increase, but I'm always willing to discuss things.
He points out that the state already approved small gradual increases in the state's minimum wage. It will go to $8.75 an hour on December 31st of this year and $9 an hour on December 31, 2015. And Skelos says he would not be in favor of allowing local governments to set their own minimum wage, a provision sought by New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio. Senator Skelos says if lawmakers do come back for a vote on a pay raise in a special December session, he'd also like to work out how to spend the surplus. It's a one-time windfall due to settlements with major banks over the financial crisis. Skelos says he'd like to see the money go to a fund for road and bridge repair and other infrastructure projects. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
Joining us now, Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Shartok. Well, this week at the state legislature, Alan, two things. The Senate leader, Dean Skelos, the Republican, says, hey, I'm going to still have a coalition with the Independent Democratic Caucus, and let's get a pay raise for legislators before we come back in January.
Well, let's go first with the IDC, or the Independent Democratic Caucus. Look, these guys really do mirror the world's oldest profession, let's face it, and that ain't politics. What happens is that Cuomo, embarrassed before the Working Families Party convention, in order to get the nomination, has to promise that he'll help get the Democrats back into control of the state Senate in a blue state where the assembly is overwhelmingly blue and Democratic, and the Senate is red only because they get to draw their own districts. The Republican leaders get to draw their own districts. Well, we've talked about that many times, but into all of this comes four or five now, and maybe soon six, people who are Democrat in name, but who say, we're going to coalesce with the Republicans, and they get chairmanships, they get some extra money, and they get a little bit more prestige. But then the governor comes in, having made this promise, and says, well, they're going back where they belong. They're going back with the regular Democrats, except that the Republicans fool everybody because it was a low turnout election. They win. They drew the districts. They worked the way they were supposed to. They win. And now these errant Democrats have to decide, are we going to keep our pledge and go back with the Democrats and be in the minority, which has the power of warm spit, or are we going to go over to the other side? And so they say, all of a sudden, it's the Republican leader, Dean Skelos, says, they're coming back here. We're going to make a coalition with them. Well, so much for that, folks. Look, in these districts in the Bronx where Jeff Klein is very popular, one only hits oneself up against the side of your head and say, how can he be popular if he keeps going back and forth between the Republicans and the Democrats based on who pays the most? And that's exactly what he's doing. On the question of the pay raise, it is the job of the leader to take the heat. And both leaders in both houses are saying, my people deserve a pay raise. Some people say they do deserve a pay raise. It's been years and years and years since they got it. I'm not one of them. I think if what happens is if they're going to get a pay raise, then they should give something back. For example, they should give back some of the many perks that they've got, which really are pay raises. Or they should tell us exactly how much money they're making on the outside. Right now, it's a statewide disgrace. These people can work on the outside, and there are some restrictions, but not many. Their law firms can bring in a lot of money because they got Senator Striguli, who is working with them, and it's unseemly. So the very least they should do is tell us exactly how much they make on the outside. Right? Now, what is this business between $100,000 and $200,000? That's ridiculous, because then people turn off. I want Senator Striguli to say, I earn exactly this amount of money to the penny, and then let us decide what's going on.
New York State will be flush with more than $5 billion, Alan, mostly from bank settlement money that's coming to the state. And, of course, groups lining up to get their share. But the governor says that money will not go to operating expenses like school aid. Rather, they're pushing for infrastructure.
It won't go to public radio, I can tell you that much. Not around here anyway. No, I can tell you that infrastructure is a good idea. You know, when the governor's right, he's right. The idea of giving the money to fix the roads and the bridges and the rest of that stuff in New York, which in some cases are in horrible disrepair, just makes all kinds of sense. The other thing is, if you take this money and you use it in the budget this year, well, then the money's not there anymore. But if you fix a bridge, the bridge is going to be fixed, you know, maybe for the next 25 or 30 years.
Stick with the governor, and finally to our listeners in Western New York, where nearly 6 feet, as we speak, of snow has piled up out there. And of course, whenever you have a major snowstorm or major disaster, the governor comes along, and he certainly was out there in Buffalo explaining what was going on. The National Guard was there, and the politics of governing and making sure you recognize all areas of the state.
Right you are, David. This governor has been a huge fan of the Buffalo region. I think he sees it as part of his electoral mandate, as part of the way that he wins. But he's spent a lot of time in Buffalo. Some wags are saying more than New York City. But he spends a lot of time in Buffalo. Along comes this incredible snowstorm. And, you know, we're talking about 5 and 6 feet of snow. It's almost unimaginable. I mean, I'm 5'5", so that means it's over my head. And so you're only 5'5", somebody's saying out there? Yeah, that's right. So that's a lot of snow. The governor did exactly the right thing. There have been many politicians who lose the next election because they don't play it right. For those with long, long memories, John Lindsay lost his mayoralty in New York City, very popular, because he didn't clean up the snow in Queens. This governor gets up there and says, we're calling out the National Guard. We're asking our neighboring states to send in equipment. We're doing everything that we possibly can. And it makes sense, and it's a good moment for him. To tell you the truth, I was impressed.
Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok. You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. There have been so many school shootings in recent years, parents will probably never feel totally at peace when they put their kids on a bus again. But as the Legislative Gazette's Dave Lucas reports, a new school safety pilot program, Mutual Link K-12, is launching in New York.
Mutual Link K-12 is rolling out in 20 public schools in Oneida and Rockland counties later this month. The technology, announced by Governor Cuomo on Monday, claims to improve communications and the sharing of information between participating schools and local first responders during an emergency. Robert Barbato is director of the Office of Interoperable and Emergency Communications at the New York State Division of Homeland Security. He explains the program embraces new technology that provides first responders with instant access to school communications equipment during an emergency.
That would provide an immediate call for help through a panic button setting, interface on a desktop device, as well as having the ability to connect local communication stuff from a facility, whether it's like the telephone system, other audio, video if it's in the facility, and provide situational awareness for potential responders in real time. This would greatly enhance the ability to respond to an incident or emergency and provide better situational awareness for the responding agencies to the school. And it also helps the administrators within a school facility to have a technology that's relatively easy for them to use as opposed to trying to use existing technology or something that's not familiar in a school setting.
There is no strict timetable. Barbato expects the program will demonstrate its effectiveness as a situation awareness and incident management tool.
If it does look like it's a great utility and it has a benefit for that, we will consider deploying it in other settings, potentially expanding the program.
The program will involve 20 schools, 10 each in Rockland and Oneida counties. The program is being implemented by Homeland Security in conjunction with each county's sheriff's or emergency management office. Rockland County Sheriff Louis Falco.
The primary responsibility of government is to provide for the safety of our residents, and none are more important than our children. This project would allow our schools to share real-time audio, video, and data with law enforcement at the county, town, and village levels to respond to incidents in the most efficient manner possible as they work to mitigate an emergency situation.
There's more information about Mutual Link K-12 at wamc.org.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Dave Lucas.
It has become an annual lament during post-election analysis. Most Americans don't vote. Now, one New York State Assemblyman thinks it's time to change the election process itself, urging his fellow lawmakers to allow some form of early voting. We get more from the Legislative Gazette's Allison Dunn.
Democratic Assemblyman Kevin Cahill is one of several co-sponsors of a bill to allow early voting in New York.
Any steps we can take, incremental or revolutionary, to improve voter participation are where we ought to be right now.
The bill would create an early voting system for primary, general, and special races for public office in New York. Cahill says counties would be responsible for designating extra polling places to be open for nearly 2 weeks before an election. Although the Assembly has passed the bill over the last 2 years, the Senate remains opposed. Cahill says the abysmal voter turnout in the November 4th elections should serve as a wake-up call.
New York State ranked fourth from last in voter participation. One out of three people decided that it was worth their time to go vote. Two out of three people stayed at home. Winners, overwhelming landslide winners who got 66% of the vote, who really got 20% of the electorate supporting them. That's not democracy. It's time to change it.
One of those landslide winners was East Fishkill Republican Assemblyman Kieran Lawler. He voted against the bill and opposes any form of early voting.
There are studies, one from the University of Wisconsin, which says that you actually lower voter turnout with early voting. And the reason for that is most people are tuned in on election day, and people are coming in to work saying, I voted this morning, or I'm going to vote this afternoon, and they're all talking about it, and there's a buzz about it. And people are wearing stickers that say, I just voted. And, if you drag it out over the long term, you lose that buzz and that excitement. It's kind of like, to use a sports analogy, it's kind of like the reason the Super Bowl gets a better rating than the World Series is the Super Bowl is a single day, and the World Series is spread out over 7 games in some cases.
He says any additional cost for early voting would be an unfunded mandate.
We are spending money to lower voter turnout. So that's 0-2 in my book.
Cahill of Kingston weighs in on cost.
It's always been my opinion that there's one place where we ought not be scrimping, and that's on democracy. First of all, the cost is not enormous. The cost is minuscule compared to what's at stake. And secondly, economies can be brought to bear by centralizing polling places so that people can vote in advance. And there really is, who even knows whether there's any additional cost involved in introducing some of the forms of electronic voting. So that's a red herring that people are using. Democracy is not free. Democracy is not cheap. But it's worth every penny.
Jacob Soboroff is board member of Why Tuesday, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization founded in 2005 to find solutions to increase voter turnout and participation in elections.
At this point, it is incredibly backwards to have a system like that. The original reason that voting was set on Tuesday in 1845 was to make it convenient, ironically, for people to travel by horse and buggy, and now it's one of the most inconvenient days of the week.
He says having one weekday for voting does not fit modern lives.
The people that don't go out and vote currently are not Republicans and they're not Democrats. They're working class people. They're single mothers and fathers that have to take care of the kids. They're students that have long hours at the in class and can't get out in time because they can only vote on Tuesday. There are people, like many people I know, that have to work more than one job, maybe two, maybe three, because they can't make ends meet in their own life. And, New York is one of only 14 states in the country that doesn't have some form of early or what's called no-excuse absentee voting, where you can vote on a day other than Tuesday.
Cahill also supports one idea by Democratic New York Congressman Steve Israel, who is the sponsor of legislation that would turn the first Saturday and Sunday in November into an election weekend for those running for federal office. Cahill argues that a similar plan could work in New York as well. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Allison Dunn.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. It has become an annual lament during post-election analysis. Most Americans don't vote. Now, one New York State Assemblyman thinks it's time to change the election process itself, urging his fellow lawmakers to allow some form of early voting. We get more from the Legislative Gazette's Allison Dunn.
Democratic Assemblyman Kevin Cahill is one of several co-sponsors of a bill to allow early voting in New York.
Any steps we can take, incremental or revolutionary, to improve voter participation are where we ought to be right now.
The bill would create an early voting system for primary, general, and special races for public office in New York. Cahill says counties would be responsible for designating extra polling places to be open for nearly 2 weeks before an election. Although the Assembly has passed the bill over the last 2 years, the Senate remains opposed. Cahill says the abysmal voter turnout in the November 4th elections should serve as a wake-up call.
New York State ranked fourth from last in voter participation. One out of three people decided that it was worth their time to go vote. Two out of three people stayed at home. Winners, overwhelming landslide winners who got 66% of the vote, we really got 20% of the electorate supporting them. That's not democracy. It's time to change it.
One of those landslide winners was East Fishkill Republican Assemblyman Kieran Lawler. He voted against the bill and opposes any form of early voting.
There are studies, one from the University of Wisconsin, which says that you actually lower voter turnout with early voting. And the reason for that is most people are tuned in on election day, and people are coming in to work saying, I voted this morning, or I'm going to vote this afternoon, and they're all talking about it, and there's a buzz about it. And people are wearing stickers that say, I just voted. If you drag it out over the long term, you lose that buzz and that excitement. It's kind of like, to use a sports analogy, it's kind of like the reason the Super Bowl gets a better rating than the World Series is the Super Bowl is a single day, and the World Series is spread out over seven games in some cases.
He says any additional cost for early voting would be an unfunded mandate.
We are spending money to lower voter turnout. That's 0 for 2 in my book.
Cahill of Kingston weighs in on cost.
It's always been my opinion that there's one place where we ought not be scrimping, and that's on democracy. First of all, the cost is not enormous. The cost is minuscule compared to what's at stake. And secondly, economies can be brought to bear by centralizing polling places so that people can vote in advance. And there really is, who even knows whether there's any additional cost involved in introducing some of the forms of electronic voting. So that's a red herring that people are using. Democracy is not free. Democracy is not cheap, but it's worth every penny.
Jacob Soboroff is board member of Why Tuesday, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization founded in 2005 to find solutions to increase voter turnout and participation in elections.
At this point, it is incredibly backwards to have a system like that. The original reason that voting was set on Tuesday in 1845 was to make it convenient, ironically, for people to travel by horse and buggy, and now it's one of the most inconvenient days of the week.
He says having one weekday for voting does not fit modern lives.
The people that don't go out and vote currently are not Republicans and they're not Democrats. They're working class people. They're single mothers and fathers that have to take care of the kids. They're students that have long hours at the in class and can't get out in time because they can only vote on Tuesday. There are people, like many people I know, that have to work more than one job, maybe two, maybe three, because they can't make ends meet in their own life. And, New York is one of only 14 states in the country that doesn't have some form of early or what's called no-excuse absentee voting, where you can vote on a day other than Tuesday.
Cahill also supports one idea by Democratic New York Congressman Steve Israel, who is the sponsor of legislation that would turn the first Saturday and Sunday in November into an election weekend for those running for federal office. Cahill argues that a similar plan could work in New York as well. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Allison Dunn.
And that about does it for this week's show. We had help from the New York State Public Radio Network. For copies, call 1-800-323-9262. That's 1-800-323-9262. Ask for program number 1447 or just listen or podcast on the web at wamc.org. And join us again next week at this same time for more news on New York State government and politics. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm David Gustina.
Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.